Jesus coming to the earth gave the devil the biggest black eye. Yes. Hallelujah. Go with me to Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. So wonderful to spend our Christmas service with you. Praise God. Some of you have that video. I may never see you again. So I'm done with this guy. What in the world's wrong with him? He's got issues. But you already knew that. You signed up with me a long time ago with all the issues. We're already there. So don't act like you didn't know that there was issues. Praise God. But I'm excited about the word tonight. You know, when holidays roll around, I've been a part of places, you know, not to criticize by any means. That's not my heart. But, you know, I've always endeavored to follow what God wants to say, what God wants to do. And so I never want you to think for any holiday or special occasion that I show up with some pre-canned sermon. No, I still wait on God just as much for this service as I did any. I remember Brother Hagin told the story of Mother's Day. He had a pre-canned Mother's Day sermon all ready to go. In the last minute, the Lord told him to preach on healing, and he fought it. He said, that's not a Mother's Day sermon. I got my poems ready. I got my points for Mother's Day. But he followed the Holy Ghost, and they had a blowout in that service, and people were miraculously healed. So I know this. It's best to follow the Holy Spirit. And so, well, obviously, the way we're going tonight is centered around the coming of Jesus, but not just to read it and to feel good. There's a purpose for his coming, and we need to get that in our heart. But Father, help us tonight. Lord, say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for all you've given, all you've provided. We love you so much. We're thankful for Jesus, of course. We say that all the time, and Lord, we want you to know we mean it. We don't want to become mundane or repetitive where it's just words, you know, that have no meaning behind them and there's no foundation. No, we mean it, Lord. We love you. We're so grateful. Without you, we can do nothing. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So, Father, we thank you and praise you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise for tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to say to all those people watching by live stream, we did start a little bit later tonight, and the reason is because we showed a special Christmas video here that I didn't want to spoil for tomorrow for South Dayton, and we'll do the same in the morning, delay it. But if you're at home and you're part of this church, you will get that video sent to you by Slick Text tomorrow after it's played in the second service. But the good news is you're not missing the most important part of the service, which is the preaching of the Word. The worship's good, and the video's funny and all that, but it's all about the Word, so you didn't miss your main feeding here tonight. But Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, of course, this is the story of the birth of Jesus. I'm going to read this to set the stage. It says, it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in his swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, I feel like I should have my little blanket with me. Isn't this what Linus read in Charlie Brown? He read this. I'm feeling like Linus. Where's my blanket? And I love it. He's sore afraid. I remember Linus's voice when he said they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, good will towards men. Praise God that this happened. Yeah. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord, for coming to the earth. Father, thank you for loving us so much to send him to the earth. Praise God. I am so thankful for Jesus coming here. Aren't you? Praise God. But he came here for a purpose. It's not just to have a feel-good Christmas service and to ease our consciousness and just to walk out happy that we had church. No, there's a purpose at the coming of Jesus. And thank God the Bible tells us, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, 1 John 3 and verse 8, Praise God. In 1 John 3, in verse 8, it says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested." You're about to find out what the Christmas story is all about. "For this specific purpose, Jesus was manifested on the earth, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Amen. We know the enemy was not happy. I mean, they tried to kill all the baby boys to get rid of the Savior. I mean, the devil was, you know, the people that were behind all that, they weren't influenced on their own accord. The enemy was influencing. Just as much as angels can influence, we see that in the Bible. We know demons can influence. We see that also in the Bible. And the devil was not happy. Why? There was a purpose the Son of God was coming for, and it was to destroy the works of the devil. And if you drop over to John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus again is going to talk about his birth here. Hallelujah. We don't think of John chapter 10 and verse 10 as a birth scripture, but the first place he manifested and showed up on the scene, praise God, was on the earth in the manger. Now, I know he manifested into his ministry too after the Holy Ghost came upon him. That was a separate manifestation, but it all started here. And the whole reason he ever was in the manger is because the devil needed some things destroyed. And in John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, "The thief comes not," notice this, "but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come," praise God. We just read about when he first came, glory to God, as a little baby, hallelujah. In the end, glory to God, he came. Why? "That we might have something." He said, right off the bat, I've shown up here so that you could receive something, that they would have life, the word Zoe in the Greek, and that they would have that Zoe or that God kind of life or that heaven on earth kind of life more abundantly. So here we see that in 1 John 3, verse 8, he's come to destroy the works of the devil. Well, what are the works of the devil? The Bible tells us here, anything associated with stealing, killing, and destroying. And Jesus said, I've come to destroy those things. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what the word destroy means? It means to put an end to the existence of something by damaging or attacking it. It doesn't sound casual. Jesus came to destroy. To what? Put an end to what the devil does by attacking it. Hallelujah. Now, when we think of these things, stealing, killing, and destroying, religious minds would say that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, that's talking of salvation only, and that is the main thing. He came to destroy the fact that the devil had the power of hell. Remember, the Bible says by one man's sin, death reigned. From Adam and Eve, the devil had death. Death was in charge. There was no hope for death. It was the devil running the show. And that's true. He came to destroy that power of the devil in our life. But that's not the only reason Jesus was here. How do we know? Because we can look at his life and watch him going around, what? Damaging the kingdom of darkness by attacking the kingdom of darkness and undoing it and putting an end to it. What are you talking about? Well, go to Luke 4:18. It tells you exactly what's available to you by the coming of Jesus. Remember, he came to destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil are stealing, killing, destroying. So I've come to undo that by attacking it so you could have abundant life. But we have to recognize that Jesus wasn't casual in this destruction. But first, look at Luke 4 and verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me," now notice this, here we go, "the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." Okay, so God anointed him. What's that anointing for? A purpose. The anointing is to what? Break yokes. The anointing is to destroy yokes. The devil had a big fat yoke over mankind. And the Bible says that Jesus came and was anointed. Now look at what he was anointed to do. And what you'll see in here is, yes, there's things that translate to salvation, But there's a whole lot of natural things that Jesus says he came to do, and then we see him walking this out in the Bible that's available to us to receive from his birth and coming and manifesting on the earth. He says, he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's he saying? I'm here with an answer to poverty. That's what he's saying. What's poverty? Poverty is just lack. Doesn't have to always be dollars and cents. Lack is poverty. He says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Well, that's the poor not becoming unpoor. That's the brokenhearted getting their hearts healed. That's what he says he's here to do. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. Hallelujah. Think about what that means to be held captive. Fear holds people captive. Poverty holds people captive. Anxiety holds people captive. Depression holds people captive. Wrong relationships hold people captive. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what he said. He said the recovering of the sight to the blind. What's he saying? I'm here to end sickness. I'm here to offer people something better. The abundant life, the God kind of life, the Zoe life, and to set liberty, freedom for them that are bruised. Now, he said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. So we know that whatever he's doing can also be translated or equivalent to the destruction of the works of the devil, because that's why he's here. And now he's saying, I'm here to do this. All these things that he's talking about, let's go back and read them again. Preach the gospel to the poor. Poverty's of the devil. Or he wouldn't try to change it, but we know his mission is what? Destroy the works of the devil. So now he's telling you his resume. He's telling you his MO, what he's going to do. Glory to God. Heal the brokenhearted. Deliver the captives. Recover the sight to the blind. And set at liberty them that are bruised. All of those things in there are works of the devil. Praise God. Jesus said, I'm here to do this. Praise God. Now, again, he wasn't casual in how he dealt with these things. I want to look at three real quick places here. Go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark 4 and verse 35. In talking about setting people free, whether they're brokenhearted, needing healing, whether they're held captive by depression, by wrong thoughts, suicidal thoughts, depression, anger, fear, anxiety, worry, poverty, whatever it is. Maybe it's demonic oppression. Jesus said, them that are bruised, them that are held captive, I want to set them free and I want to give them liberty. And in Mark chapter 4, so what am I trying to get you excited about? If you're going through something that's holding you captive in your mind, in your life, in your body, Jesus said, I'm here because Christmas is a time for me to let you know I'm here to destroy that in your life. And you might think to yourself, I've been through many Christmases through the same thing and believing in Jesus. Well, we'll get to your part at the end, praise God. But in Mark 4 and verse 35, the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let's pass to the other side. Well, we know, because I preach about it all the time, what happened from the time he said that to the time he got to the other side, there was a storm of a hurricane proportion. Do you think the storm caught Jesus off guard? I don't. But you know what I find about Jesus? He didn't check the weather and decide to stay home. Not, nothing against people that decide to stay home in the weather. That's not my point. But what I'm saying was, there was something on the other side that he was not going to be casual about. Because there was a work of the devil going on the other side of the water, and Jesus said, I'm here to destroy those things. Amen. Glory to God. Well, Mark chapter 5 tells us when he got to the other side, they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Now, the Holy Ghost has specifically told me, through praying and seeking him and spending time with him, exactly how this message, at the end you'll see, pertains to you and the change that people need to make to see these things show up. But Jesus didn't say, oh, I don't know, it's not convenient. Jesus didn't say, oh, it's going to be tough. Oh, I don't know, we'll take care of it. No, no, he didn't mess around. went through the storm. They came to the other side of the sea of the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. What? He's demonically possessed, who had his dwelling, verse 3, in the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. You do, okay, just so you know, that depression, cutting yourself, suicidal thoughts, I know I've been there, it's not from him, it's from him. Jesus, the devil tried to get Jesus to kill himself. That spirit of suicide, that spirit of harming yourself, it is evil. You don't mess around with it. He told Jesus, jump off the cliff. So he told him. He said, jump off the cliff, the angels will save you. What was the devil trying to get Jesus to do? Kill himself. Why? The whole thing would have been messed up then. Where are we? Verse 5. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped, cried with a loud voice and said, what do I have to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you torment me not. Obviously, that's the devil talking. For he said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what's your name? And the spirit answered, my name's Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was near unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith immediately Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits, so much we could talk about with demons and stuff here, but we're not going there tonight. The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place to the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked to the sea, and they that fed the swine fled and told the city and in the country, and they went out to see what is done. So, let me say something real quick because I have this on my radar, my heart of the Holy Spirit. You know what's interesting about that spirit of suicide and that spirit of harming oneself to try to take one out? You know, I remember being so convinced that my life would be better if I was gone, that I had that thought that I took a loaded gun, you know, the story back on the the Gaswell Road in Frewsburg, loaded .357 Magnum, cocked the hammer, put it in the back of my mouth, ready to pull the trigger, and I had a vision in the middle of my Chevy Cavalier, and all of a sudden, I was saved from doing that. But what was interesting during that time, and let me help you out there that are struggling with depression, suicidal thoughts, you're convinced, like I was at times, that it would be better if you're gone, that there's nothing for you, that it's pointless, that it's worthless to live. Let me tell you something. I had those same exact thoughts. But you know what was interesting? Those thoughts weren't from God. They're from the devil. Why? That spirit comes from the devil. But you know what's interesting about that lying devil? He never told me about the beautiful family I'd have. Never told me about the beautiful family I had. Never wanted to mention that one time to me. Never told me about the two wonderful churches I'd have the opportunity to pastor. The people I've been able to help through the Word of God. Lives that I've got to see changed by this book. Never told me any of that stuff. So if you're dealing with those thoughts, it's a lie of the enemy to do what? To destroy you. Because he's afraid of what you're going to walk into. Praise God, it's true. He was afraid of what Jesus was going to walk into. He's afraid of what Pastor Mike was going to walk into. And he's afraid of what you're going to walk into. But I'm here to tell you, just like this man, Jesus is here to set you free. Now, maybe depression's not your thing, but maybe fear is. God did not give you that spirit of fear, but we know who did. Maybe it's not fear. Maybe you're completely worried and stressed, or maybe poverty's your thing that's holding you captive. Maybe it's something in your body that's holding you captive. Maybe it's something that's gone on for years and years and years that's a stronghold, and you're convinced it's never going to change. He wants to destroy these things. Here was a man who was held captive. Isn't he the very description of brokenhearted, bruised, captive? A man that's in the tombs by himself, living by himself. He's so possessed they can't even bound him with chains. He's got that supernatural strength. He's cutting himself. He's just absolutely out of his mind. And Jesus said, I want to fix that. Praise God. If you're here tonight on this Christmas service going into 2021, of course, next week will be our New Year's service, and I already have direction. Because here's what's interesting. You know, you always pray for direction at the beginning of the year and seek God, do you want to say anything? You know, you're always praying for direction. And he showed me the direction where to go, and I'll tell you what it is next week. Praise God. Hallelujah. But if you're here tonight and you're held captive by something, I don't know what it is. Jesus is here. The Christmas story, he came to what? Destroy that. Why? It's a work of the devil. It's a work of the devil. He wants to demolish and undo that in your life. Praise God. He wants to put an end to that. He does. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go with me now to, let's go to Mark 11 and verse 12. We're just going to touch on these things real quick. Mark 11 and verse 12. You saw in the video how much exercise can do for you. I mean, that was like a couple week time frame and all that happened. I mean, that's why Paul told Timothy, he said, bodily exercise, it profits a little bit. It profits a whole lot by the looks of things. Man, get on that treadmill, get on that bike, put the Rocky music on and just go. Mark 11 and verse 12, look at this. In the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon when he came to it. You know what hunger represents? A need. That's what he was in need right now. And the Bible says he came to find anything around when he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. So he came to a tree, and the tree continued to say, you're not eating anything. Now, what's interesting about this is any time lack tried to rear its ugly head to Jesus, he didn't take it lying down. The theme here we're getting is Jesus wasn't casual about getting to the man that was held captive. What did Jesus do when lack? People say, oh, it's just that tree. No, not to Jesus. Jesus knew all lack is associated with the work of the devil. And so Jesus saying, if you're going to participate in this work of the devil tree, you are not going to produce anymore. And what did he say in the next verse? Jesus answered and said, no man eat fruit from you hereafter. And his disciples heard it. And what did Peter call it the next day? Peter said what? You cursed the fig tree. Why did Jesus take such a strong, non-casual, proactive response towards lack? Because he knew, he sensed, lack is no place in my life. I can't allow lack to get any hold on me. I'm not going to be casual with this lack. Tree, you're done.
Amen.
Yeah. So many people were so stinking casual about the things that press against us. And we're just waiting for stuff to change. No, Jesus wasn't casual. He attacked things. Go with me now to Mark chapter 9 and verse 35. Mark 9 and verse 35. Says, Matthew 9, verse 35. I'm sorry, Matthew 9, 35. I was like, that is not where I want to be. Matthew 9, 35. That happens a lot with me, just so you know. Matthew 9, 35. There's one thing. You're never going to have to worry about me thinking I'm perfect. I know. I know myself way too well. Mark 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And notice this. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Acts 10:38, real quick. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Sickness is of the devil. So what did Jesus come to do? Undo the works of the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, you might be facing sickness in your body right now. Symptoms in your body. Things they call incurable. Chronic conditions that you've had your whole life. Things that are showing up on reports. Things that can't be denied naturally. Jesus came to earth. See, we always associate because of our religious minds, and the devil loves religion. Because religion isn't life. We like to think that the Christmas story was the path to the cross, which it was, but the cross in and of itself was not just salvation. It was freedom in all areas of your life. How do we know? Because Jesus was on the earth and he wasn't just dealing with people's spiritual problem. When they were sick naturally, he dealt with it. When they were broken and had needs, he dealt with it, praise God. When they had emotional and mental problems, he dealt with it. And he also took care of our spiritual problems. What was he showing us? He was demonstrating what it looks like to have the works of the devil destroyed. That means something being there and then they're not anymore. And the awesome thing is Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Glory to God. When are you going to get sick and tired of being sick and tired? Your Savior was not casual when it came to poverty, when it came to oppression, when it came to sickness and disease. Some people, let's be honest, the storm hits and it just throws them completely off. They have no idea how to handle it. They have no idea what to do. They're completely overwhelmed. They're completely overmatched. Shouldn't be that way. You got the greater one on the inside of you. The Bible calls you more than a conqueror. The Bible says you're to overcome. Hallelujah. And obviously you can tell the theme of this and what the Holy Spirit, this, I'm just telling you what he revealed to me. You'll know in your own heart if I'm hitting it or not. If I'm hitting the mark or not. But he told me people are so casual about this stuff. The things that show up in their life, they just treat it so, I'll tell you your help here in a second, but Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday. Well, what are the yesterdays? What we just read about. Setting that person free, healing the sick, right? Taking care of poverty. That was the only place, you know, when there was when needs showed up, Jesus dealt with them. He never went without. Jesus wouldn't allow himself to go without. Oh, that's an acceptable tree. That is unacceptable tree. And so many people just, that's just the hand that was dealt me. Why don't you do something about the hand that was dealt you? Well, that's just my lot in life. Why don't you do something about that lot in life? Jesus didn't just say, well, this is just the way it is. No, he knew what was available to him. How are you going to change these things in your life that we've been talking about over and over again on this Christmas service? Number one, it starts here. He didn't put up with them. Why? Because he recognized these things aren't okay. He recognized that these things are not acceptable. See, you'll stop tiptoeing through the tulips with your poverty and your sickness and the oppression in your life when you recognize its root is coming from the very one that wants to destroy your life. Well, everybody just gets sick. Well, everybody shouldn't just get sick. Jesus came to undo it. That's my point. It's just normal. We just get sick. No, why are you putting up with that? Jesus didn't just say, oh, that's just normal. Sickness is normal. That's the mentality we get in. And that's why we're sick. That's why I don't see the healings, because, well, that's just my genetics. That's what grandma had, and that's what mom had. That's called casualness. That's because you don't recognize that's not okay. Well, you know, it's 2020, it's COVID, and people are on unemployment and things like that, and their paychecks. It's just, how can you not struggle? You putting up with that? Jesus wouldn't put up with that. That's just the way it's always been. Well, I guess that's your attitude. That's the way it's always going to be. Come on. Well, everybody's worried. No, worry's not from him. It's from the devil. Anxiety's not a root from life. It's from death. Some people are so casual with this stuff. Why? Don't recognize where it's coming from. Hallelujah. That's package he's delivering to you, it's got a bomb on the inside of it. He just wants you to take it and wow. He didn't put up with it. Praise God. It's not okay. Sickness is not okay in your life. Poverty is not okay in your life. But until you recognize it, it won't change. It won't change. The woman with the issue of blood, what happened? She finally said, can't be casual anymore. I've had this for 12 years. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm going for it. I'm not going to be denied. The Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15 that had the daughter grievously vexed to the devil. Jesus denied her three times. The disciples said, get out of here. Jesus called her a dog. Jesus said, the healing's not for you. It's for the children. You're just a dog. Remember he told her that? And she came with the mentality of, I don't care what you say. I'm not leaving until I get my healing. This sickness is not okay on my daughter. Who has that kind of mentality? It's true. It's so true. So many people don't recognize it first, but then aren't willing to fight for things. We live in a society that just people just lay down. You know, I don't know what your political affiliation is, and my job is not to preach politics, but you know what I appreciate about President Trump? I'm glad he's fighting fraud. I'm glad he's fighting the works of darkness. Why? Everybody else lays down. Finally, someone that's actually willing to fight. I don't know how it's going to turn out, and maybe it'll just turn out the way they say it's going to turn out, but at least somebody is willing to fight and stand up to corruption and fraud. That's clear. So people just accept it. I got my sickness. I just accept it. It's what I have. It's my life. 2 years. Hell on earth for me. Walking my dog. After 1 year, I started preaching the testimony of my healing. I said, this is not staying in my body. It's not okay. It's not okay. Poverty's not okay. Being oppressed is not okay. You know, there was the coat rack that we have in South Dayton. I can't remember if it's the one in the new building or the old building, because we had two different building programs, but I believe it was the new building because we ordered it from a company that other people have ordered from before, paid the money for it, and they didn't send it to us. And this went on and on and on and on and on and on, and I kept sending emails and kept giving phone calls. But you know what made me mad? I realized, you know what? That thing belongs to me. It belongs to me. Therefore, if I'm going without it, that's not okay. But you know, just because things belong to you doesn't mean they'll just fall on your lap. Do you know healing belongs to you? Joy belongs to you? Prosperity belongs to you? Peace belongs to you? So many people, you know, I get the answer machine over and over again. Well, I'm just not going to get that. Or so if you just lay down, I can't get a hold of anybody. Oh, there's no emails. There was nobody. It's almost seeming like a scam. Started after a while, seemed like a scam. Well, I'm not giving up. It's like the time the person, Verizon, charged me all these long distance things or whatever on the bill. My bill came to something crazy amount, and it was wrong because I had gone over to Canada and I had switched the plan before. I had the confirmation number and everything for the Canada plan, and so I used my phone over there looking up the internet, searching the internet, making phone calls, text messages. Well, my next bill was an eye opener. I mean, I'm talking. It was in the thousands of dollars, and they said, no, I'm sorry, you have to pay this. Well, I knew what belonged to me. And I sat there, and I fought for that coat rack, and I fought for that Verizon payment to be taken away, tooth and nail. Yeah. Finally, I called the coat rack. I said, I see nobody wants to call me back, but I know you're there. I said, I paid for this. I said, I just happen to have some lawyer friends. I bet I pull out all the stops. And if you don't get back to me or send me the coat rack, I promise you, you're going to have a bigger problem on your hands. Hey, check back in my records, Verizon. I've been a customer with you since I was so-and-so years old. I've never missed a bill. You sure you want to lose me? Are you sure, as a pastor of a church, with all the people I have influence over, you want me to talk bad about you? What am I doing? Fighting tooth and nail. Belongs to me. And yep, they took the charges away. And yep, it's amazing. I never got a phone call back. But guess what showed up in the mail a week later? The coat rack. Or it wasn't just a coat rack. It was the pieces to hang it up. But how many times are we just like, that's just what I just sick. You get sick. And I'm sick. And that's just the way it is. And I'm broke. And what can I do about it? My job. What can I do about it? That's not how Jesus was. Until you recognize what's available to you. What's available to you? Everything Jesus came to do to undo the devil. Anything demonic in your life, poverty, loneliness, sickness, disease, oppression, depression, fear, anxiety, worry, stress, all these things are works of the devil. And Jesus said, I want to change that in your life. But if you think, just sitting on your hands, just hoping and hoping and hoping, it's going to happen. No, no, no. It takes somebody pulling up their bootstraps and pulling their britches up and saying, I'm fighting for this. It will manifest. I'm not putting up with this anymore. My Savior came to the earth. Think of what He went through to get there. He was willing to humble Himself, become, I mean, I'm not trying to belittle Jesus here when I say this. I'm just pointing out facts. Think about this. The Son of God, not considered robbery to be equal with Him, would have to get burped and had times of throwing up all over Himself as a vulnerable baby. That's how uncasual He was to become a man to pay the price so we could walk into these things. Again, it's going to sound funny, but it's true. Jesus pooped His pants. The Savior. I'm being serious. The King of Kings humbled Himself that much. Because He knew, I have to go through that baby process to get to where I'm able to become anointed to start doing these things. Wasn't casual about it. Glory to God. You shouldn't be either. He paid a price. He went through hell, literally, and back for you. But if you want to keep these things, you can. But I go after these things like I go after the Verizon bill. I always treat these things that aren't supposed to be in my life like I treat trespassers. One pet peeve that's, I have a lot of them, but one major pet peeve of mine that really fires me up is when people trespass on land knowingly. Ignorance is one thing, but if you are knowingly trespassing, oh, that fires me up so much. I don't deal lightly with trespassers. The trees are lit up like a Christmas tree. I know you saw the posted signs. What are you doing here? You can't be here. You've crossed the wrong line. Get off this land. That's how you should treat sickness and disease and poverty and depression and oppression and anxiety and stress and worry. No, I'm not taking this anymore. Jesus came down and do this, praise God. Hallelujah. And then your answer is what? You find the answer in the Word, and you stand and you hold that confession till it manifests. And I don't care if it gets worse, you stand your ground. Say, healing's mine, prosperity's mine, freedom's mine, joy's mine. This turnaround I need is mine. This deliverance I need is mine, and I'm not going to go without it. And without a show of hands or anybody acknowledging their error, how many of us would say, you know what? I've treated sickness like that Verizon bill. I've treated poverty like that coat rack thing, and I've treated it like trespassers, or how many of you just accepted it? And you know, every once in a while you confess it, or, oh, Father, heal my body. Last verse. Let me just tell you this verse and we'll close. Matthew 11:12. Merry stinking Christmas. Matthew 11:12. Hallelujah. Fired up tonight. Praise God. I'm fired up. Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. And the violent take it by force. Now, very misunderstood verse here, but think about what it's talking about. It says, the kingdom of heaven, what does the kingdom of heaven offer you? All the blessings, right? The blessings of healing. Because they manifest from Him, we believe, but the power flows from Him. The blessing to turn your life around, to change your life. It says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. That word violence there is not a casual word. And the violent take it. Take what? What's available to them. But how do they take it? Not casually. The violent take it by force. What's that mean? You're going to have to fight through some things. You're going to have to battle through some things. You're going to have some really dark days, some really tall mountains in front of you, some really big giants in front of you. But you have what it takes to stand your ground, confess to that mountain, hold your ground, and fight like heck until it shows up and not be satisfied until it does. Amen. You think I was going to take Jim Walker beating Eli down? No, I went through 40 hours of extra work with Pastor Scott Wise so I could make sure I win. Find out tomorrow, South Dayton. You laugh? That's where it comes from. Not going to beat me. I'll do whatever I got to do to be the winner. That's the way you have to have that mentality towards the devil. Amen. Praise God. Well, you got your marching orders. An attitude adjustment, maybe, going forward. Hallelujah. Father, we love you tonight. Merry Christmas. We love you, Father. We love you so much. We're so grateful. Jesus, you are not casual with sickness. You are not casual with oppression. You are not casual with poverty and the things of the devil. No, you came to not just you know, fluff around. No, you came to destroy them. And Father, these are available to us. These things are available, but we need to take it by force. The woman with the issue of blood, she had to take it by force. How? Pressing through a crowd. Pressing through the shame, pressing through the insults. We thank you for it. The woman, the Syrophoenician woman, had to press to get some things. Had to not be casual. She was rejected so many times. Blind Bartimaeus was told, "Shut up, blind man." But the violent take it by force. No, that's not okay. I'm going to get my healing, praise God. I'm going to get my money's turning around. My body's turning around. My kids are turning around. My situation's turning around. My deliverance is coming. That's the attitude, praise God. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what I can see, what I can feel. Things are changing. That's the attitude you need to have. Praise God. Not this wuss mentality and this overwhelmed mentality and this woe is me mentality and what am I going to do mentality and this is too hard for me mentality. You just don't have your mind renewed enough to know what's available to you. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for helping us tonight. We love you so much. Praise God. It all starts with the manger, and the manger led to the cross. If you're watching by live stream right now, I want to give you the opportunity to receive the greatest Christmas gift you could ever receive, which is eternal life. God gave Jesus, and Jesus willingly came to the earth as a baby boy so that he could grow up. And ultimately, the destination was the cross, where the Bible says he took your sin, he took your sickness, he took your disease, he took the chastisement of your peace that was upon him. He took it all. But the main thing and the most important thing that he came to do was to undo the works of darkness, the death that the devil had over people. He came to give you eternal life. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe would not perish." He doesn't want you to perish. And he made it simple. The great thing is he made it so simple. He said if you would just believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Romans 10:9, he said, you'll be saved. He didn't say you have to come to this church. He didn't say you had to have good church attendance. He didn't say good church attendance could get you in. He didn't say bad church attendance could keep you out. He didn't say doing good works could get you in. He didn't say doing good works could keep you out. You can't do enough good to get in, and you can't do enough bad to stay out. It's all about Jesus tonight. And I know in this room right now that we're all born again. I know we've all received Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But if you're watching and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Romans 10:9 is the outline. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. When this service is over, get on your knees and just say, "Lord, I believe in you." And again, you don't have to know everything or have everything figured out. Just in your heart, you know Jesus is real. You might not even be able to understand it or figure it out or explain it, but you know in your heart. I can't explain it, but I know Jesus was real. You're qualified. The next step is to just to call on his name. Say, "Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my life as my Lord and my Savior." If you'll pray that, he'll save you. And then get a hold of me. Send me an email. Give me a phone call. And we'll get you hooked up in a Bible-teaching church where you can learn how to be victorious, how you can learn how to walk out abundant life. That's what Christmas is about. "For I have come to give you life and life more abundantly." Praise God. That's the manger to me. The manger to me is John chapter 10 and verse 10. Praise God. Let's worship him tonight. Father, we love you and praise you and magnify your holy name. You are good to us. We praise you. We glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You can be seated for right now. We're going to put our offerings in at the end. Don't forget, next Saturday will be our New Year's service. Again, I'll be sending out that, you might say, Pastor Mike, I don't want to see what I saw again, but that'll be up to you. I'll send that out to you after service tomorrow. But right now, when we dismiss, I'd like all the kids to come up. I'd like the older kids to be in a group. The children's church age is 5 to 9. And then any parents want to bring up their nursery age kids. And we have gifts for everybody. But we love you. Appreciate you. Our lives are changed. Amen. We'll see you next week. You are dismissed.